SMQBs, this is episode 190. We are 10 episodes away from branding the two remaining unmarked SMQBs.
No,
we're getting there, fellas. We're getting there.
You don't say branding to guys who are in a fraternity. You just don't say that.
Pope.
We don't talk about that.
Who are you bringing to the bar this week, Pope?
This is a little off the normal beaten path, but I don't know if you guys saw it. But last night, the Dallas Wings of the WNBA got the first pick in the lottery.
Paige Beckers, here we come.
Yeah. So I'm taking Kurt Miller, who I will profess I did not know who it was until about 5 minutes ago. But anyway, I'm taking Kurt because he's the new GM for the Dallas Wings after being fired by the LA Sparks. He is going to tell me what their plan is on drafting Paige Beukers, and what are we going to do to get some excitement going? We'll have Caitlin, Angel Reese, all them coming to town. What are we going to do to get some excitement for Dallas WNBA? I think that'd be kind of fun.
All right. Rooster, who are you bringing?
You know who I'm bringing. Danny Cutlets.
Danny Jones.
Tommy Cutlets. Tommy Cutlets.
Tommy Cutlets.
Tommy DeVito.
That's the time.
I'm going to take him to the bar. We're going to drink a little Chianti, and I'm going to say, look, man, you're taking a fall in the second half. There's no winning. There's no winning at this point. We want Shedeur Sanders.
Shedeur sweepstakes.
That's right, baby.
Oh,
do we have to see more of his agent now? That guy's terrible.
Absolutely.
Do we have to? Do we get to?
I think I don't know, maybe.
All right,
you'll see him Sunday. I'm going to bring Iron Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I like it.
And I'm going to try to get him drunk and figure out if this whole thing was just a freaking scam, because that was one of the worst fights I've ever seen. I don't know if I was just delusional that he was still 34 years old and was back to his old self, but he looked like a 60-year-old man and couldn't walk. And I was
when he came out with a knee brace on,
I knew it was over.
You sort of had a clue, right?
I'm like, I'm pissed off I didn't bet on it. That was an easy bet. Should have taken Jake Paul. Tyson really should not get back in the ring. That was terrible. And I stayed up way too late waiting for that. The fight before that was really good. The two chicks, I forgot their names, but they beat the shit out of each other. It was a good boxing match.
All right. Well, I'm going to bring one Alex Ovechkin, because this guy is on an unbelievable tear. Going into the season, pretty much everybody thought he would catch Gretzky and pass him next year, probably first half of the season next year. But here we are. Last night, he had a hat trick. His 31st career hat trick. And after 17 games played this year, he's got 13 goals, 10 assists. He's plus 13. And he is only 29 goals away from passing Gretzky for the all-time NHL goal leader. So, Father Time has caught up to Mike Tyson, but he certainly hasn't caught Ovechkin yet, who's just been on an absolute heater. So that's who I'm bringing to the bar.
All right.
All right, let's get to it. NFL week 11 is in the books. Almost. We always have this Monday night thing that we got to worry about. But Rooster, what are we talking about this week?
Well, this week, finally, the marquee matchups kind of lived up to the billing. The Bills-Kansas City game was fantastic. Kind of capped off by this 28-yard fourth and two touchdown run by Josh Allen, which Jim Nance sort of over-dramatically dubbed the play of the year.
What a shot. Nance over-dramatic?
Yeah. He had to walk it back pretty right after.
He was doing his best Chris Collins work
right
there.
Tony Romo didn't jump out of the booth.
Yeah, excitement. Yeah, it was a really good game. Kansas City finally has one in the loss column, which may be good for them because they're really not an undefeated team. That pressure is off them now. They can focus on what they need to do to win the Super Bowl. And one thing is, how about involving Travis Kelce? I mean, what's going on with, what is going on? It's almost like they're doing time management with him like the NBA players do. And all of a sudden he's like Joel Embiid. But why would you do that in the Bills game? I mean, I don't think he got a pass thrown his way in that game. I just don't understand it. Look, it's kind of seemed like they were trying out Xavier Worthy for the playoffs to see if he could, if he could step up. But I don't know how you do that to your fans in the biggest game of the year against the Bills. And you don't want to give the Bills too much confidence because they came into that game thinking that we just can't beat the Chiefs. So anyway, that was a great marquee matchup. Turned out to be a great game. Unfortunately,
it was a great run though, man. That was that was an exciting play at home, to ice the game. That was a big moment.
Yep. Unfortunately, the first marquee game of the week was the Thursday night game. Unfortunately for Bison, the Eagles outlasted Washington basically based on the legend, my man Saquon Barkley, taking the game over late in the fourth quarter with some great runs, winning 26-18. But I know there's no such thing as a moral victory, but geez, Washington is 2 years ahead of schedule, and they just are. Jaden Daniels is hurt. You could tell he wasn't running at all. He's protecting his ribs, and still they look good. They play smart. They just need some. They need a little bit more talent on defense at this point.
Sexy Rexy came out. Rex Ryan and said, he was like, look, Washington's not elite yet, and this is kind of what I've been saying. I mean, they're not. They're not an elite Super Bowl contending team at this point. Now, having said that, they could win out the rest of the way. They've got some pretty weak games coming up and they should make the playoffs. But they're definitely not an elite.
They remind me of some of the Giants teams in the 80s when Phil Simms took them to two straight Super Bowls. I mean, that team wasn't elite, but they played every aspect of the game well. Yeah, they had wide receivers like Phil McConkie, who no one ever heard of. But everyone was playing their position. Nobody was out of position. They played special teams. I think Washington is well coached right now, and they're playing well. And they just need to plug in a few spots. And next year, they're going to be really good. The third marquee game that House kind of pegged was Steelers-Ravens, which turned into a bit of a, NFC North, NFC AFC North dud, 18-16. I mean, typical. Pittsburgh wins the game without scoring a touchdown. They scored 18 points on field goals.
Not a good weekend, not to start Boswell.
Chris Boswell.
Yeah.
I have in my other league, thank God, but I still got spanked. Chris Boswell, was one of the few premier kickers who's holding up right now. If you remember in the first couple of weeks, we were like, man, the kickers are on fire. They can't miss from 50 and out, and everybody else is behind the eight ball. And now all of a sudden, best kickers in the league are missing everything.
Hey, they're getting blocked. Game-winning field goals are getting blocked.
Well, you've got your man that you have on your fantasy team, Pope, on the Ravens, all of a sudden just can't make a field goal.
Tucker, Tucker.
The kicker for the Eagles can't make a field goal. He's
Elliott.
Great kicker. Just crazy what's happening to the kickers.
McPherson last night?
Yeah, McPherson for the Bengals. That was another matchup that some people were looking forward to. Like I said last week, Justin Herbert is finally able, with a really good head coach, to play his game, and he is going to continue to get better because they play smash mouth football now. They have a big offensive line. Joe Alt, it was their draft pick. They run the ball well. They picked up this running back, from the Ravens, who everyone had written off because of injuries, and that guy's just running great. They beat the Bengals 33-27.
And they have their either Cooper Kupp or Edelman guy now, McConkie.
Well, I told you guys.
I know. Every time he does something, I think of you, Rooster.
he's a seasoned route runner with great hands and he's got good speed and he's got an elite quarterback. I mean, how's he not going to have good games?
Well, I mean, the game winning drive they had, he had two huge completions and ran perfect routes.
Yep. So I think the one remaining marquee matchup, and it's not so much a marquee because of the teams, but maybe more because they're in-state rivals, is tonight the Texans and the Cowboys. I mean, Cowboys are kind of toast, but the Texans have lost two straight. They need to rebound and make sure, you know, everyone's talking about C.J. Stroud is in this sophomore slump. He's got Nico Collins returning tonight. Let's see if he can pull them out of this slide that they're in and get back to sort of an elite level of play, because they can easily win that division and go to the playoffs. They just have to stop losing. My God.
Well, that won't be a problem tonight. The cure-all ails is play the Cowboys at home.
Well, I'll see. Yeah. Let's hope that was my Mexico last week. So
if they get within 25, that would be a moral victory for Jerry.
So there were some. Jake Paul has more wins at Jerry World this year than the Cowboys do, huh?
I saw all those.
100%.
That's true.
Love it. Classic. Love it.
So there were three really kind of unexpected standout individual performances. Bison, what are your thoughts on Bo Nix now after this last week?
I don't know. I get
300, over 300 yards.
I don't know.
Four touchdowns, zero interceptions, and they spanked the Falcons.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
Yeah, 38-6.
I don't know. I mean, is he the second best quarterback in the rookie class?
I don't know. Well, who's the first? Your guy?
Jay.
Yeah. What about Drake May? 282 yards, two touchdowns.
May's looking good. He looks like he's going to be a good player.
He's just now starting.
Yeah, he hasn't played enough to be in
the. He can run the ball too. He looked good. But the crazy one was Inspector Gadget, Taysom Hill, rushed for three touchdowns, ran for 138 yards, had a 50-yard special teams play.
Another guy didn't start.
42 yard. He caught 50 yards worth of passes, and he threw a pass for 18 yards.
Yeah, that's a pretty good day.
That's a pretty good day.
That's a good tight end day.
So
right, yeah.
I think the other categories of games can be broken down to good teams, bad records, maybe still alive. And in that category, I'd put your team, milk the Bucks.
Really?
Good team. They've got too many injuries right now, so you're losing games. When are you going to get Mike Evans back?
We're getting him back for the Giants. So
okay. How about Godwin?
Godwin's out for the year.
He's done.
So they're only going to have.
How about your offensive line? Is that going to get shored up a little bit?
I don't know about Wirf. We'll see.
Yeah.
If
you can get Wirf and Evans back and healthy, I think you have a shot because, I mean, you know, you're 4-7, but I don't know. You're 4-6, but the Falcons have five losses.
Milk, you're three.
You're one
three
game
games.
Back in a loss, Calvin.
The next three games are games Giants. They beat us twice.
Giants, Panthers, and Raiders are your next three games, Milk.
Look,
you run the table.
Do you?
And then you play the Cowboys and the Panthers? That's not even fair.
No, our first 10 games were against, 9 out of our first 10 games were against teams with winning records. We've had an unbelievably hard schedule. Finally, it's getting easier.
Yes, yeah, getting easier. And Kirk Cousins is in a fucking downward spiral. What's going on?
I'd love for a slide to happen there. I mean, we're not last yesterday's Broncos win was huge for us. So we'll see.
Kirk Cousins hasn't thrown a touchdown in 2 games.
Very worried about Tommy Cutlets.
You should be. I am too. I don't want him.
Beware of the backup.
Hey, we got to talk about Detroit. Detroit is putting their stamp on the season right now. And if you had Jared Goff and Jahmyr Gibbs in your fantasy team, that was pretty brilliant drafting, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who has both those guys on his team in our league.
Might be you.
Maybe Bison. But anyway, I mean, that's what they should have done to Jacksonville, right? And you know, boy, they look like. I mean, are they in a league of their own in the NFC? Are they? Is it? just them and then everybody sort of else?
I think so.
In the NFL?
Well, yeah. Maybe.
I mean, I think the Bills and the Chiefs would still give them a
I have them as the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, but they run away in the NFC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my point. I mean, they're just, I don't think, I mean, Philadelphia is probably second in the NFC right now, and I think there's a pretty big gap, although Philly has gotten better and better every week,
right?
Especially on defense. So maybe that closes by the end of the year. But at least as far as the NFL goes, you put Detroit, they may be the best team, but the Bills and the Chiefs are, I think, in their mm-hmm. league at least, right?
Right. Detroit did it the right way, too. They built an offensive line first. They were a really good offensive line. Underrated.
Yeah.
But how about the Jags? I mean, is Doug Peterson going to be coach next game this week, you think? You think he makes it to the next game?
He'd be out by now.
Mac Jones is selling insurance next year.
Oh, hell yeah.
He does not need to be in the NFL anymore.
No, hell
yeah.
You made it clear that it wasn't just a New England problem.
No.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
The other thing is, do the Jets even want Aaron Jones back next year and Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, boy. I mean, did you see that stat that Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold both have better winning percentages as Jets than Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers is a fraud. They're worse with him as their quarterback.
Well, they got worse since they fired Salah.
Right.
Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers.
They're a mess. They're just a complete mess.
They have the makings of a really good defense, and they have thrown in the towel on defense. They just don't care.
Now.
They totally quit on the team, and it's because, I think, of Aaron Rodgers.
They just need to hand the ball to Parise Hall.
So they're in the shit show category of teams that would include the Panthers, the Giants, the Jags, the Browns, and maybe now the Falcons.
And the Cowboys.
I mean, my God.
How about Raiders? Is there a team that has had two like more heartbreaking losses than the Bears this season?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a blocked field goal, not a long one, a blocked field goal. Which, by the way, did you see that they are sending the tape to the league saying that you can't line up over the long snapper, right? And they're saying
bury his head.
Yeah, and they're complaining that there should have been a penalty on the play because somebody was lined up over top of them. But to lose on a blocked field goal, and then of course the Hail Mary in D.C. Man, those are two rough losses to end games. That those could be two more wins for them.
They need a new coach.
And they've had so many problems.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you watched the game, but I had a problem with what they did on the last drive. They should have made it an easier field goal. They just kind of gave up and just like tried to run to the right hash. I hate that. That bothers me on just generally speaking. Get the ball as close as you can because margin of error in the NFL for field goals is pretty tight.
Right.
I thought the kick just looked weird from the start.
It did.
It didn't get high enough. Well why didn't it get high enough?
Slow.
Because the further the field goal, the angle is lowered getting it out.
Yeah, but that wasn't a long field goal, was it? 46 yards?
48. Come on.
That's automatic in the NFL now.
I don't know. What is the percentage of 48-yard field goals? About 55, 60%?
It's for NFL kicker?
Yeah.
It should be. But I felt like he was like, it was weird when I was watching it live and like he hiked it and like he was just like walking almost. I don't know.
Bears do not have a good attitude. They kind of remind me of the Jets in a way. I mean, even Roma Dunze, who I think is a really good, hardworking young guy, just seems down. You know, there's no energy on that sideline. The opposite of, say, the Cardinals. Speaking of the Cardinals, the NFC West has three teams who are 5-5. So the Cardinals are in first place at 6-4, which to me means if the damn Niners would ever get healthy and get their head out of their ass, they could still win that division. We'll see.
Yeah. Loss to Seattle in the last.
Terrible loss. And the coach,
12 seconds.
Some of the coaching decisions are not great.
Yeah.
But so I think the Niners are still in it. But what about the Bengals? I mean, keep talking about the Bengals. They're clearly
a bad, talented team.
Quarterback that has been shit on more by his defense than Joe Burrow. That guy is having a fucking phenomenal year, by the way. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know how I feel about Burrow. Love that guy. If he was on any other, his defense is terrible. Terrible.
Another team that needs a new coach, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I think
he's thrown like four picks this year or something.
So Ja'Marr Chase came out today and basically shit on the head coach.
Yep.
That's unacceptable.
Well, the Bengals play home against the Steelers this they have a bye, but next game, and I would say that's a must win. I mean, they're almost in, they have to go like 5-2 or 6-1 because the Broncos are 6-5 and they hold the last wild card right now. Bengals are 4-7. I mean, it's that last night was a huge loss.
So guys, after week 11, who do you think are your MVP candidates?
MVP.
Josh Allen has to be, right? I mean, I guess is Jared Goff up there?
If it weren't for one game, he clearly would be up there. Threw five picks two games ago, so maybe he'll get past that, but yes.
God, I hate to say this, but Jalen Hurts?
He's having a pretty good year.
I think you need to put Saquon Barkley in as a contender.
Saquon's for sure up there. Yeah. I mean, Saquon just looks like the best player in the NFL. I think you also, except for yesterday, you could put King Henry in there too.
Right.
Until yesterday's game. So I don't know. How do you not put Mahomes in there? You know, they're 9-1, right?
He sucks. He's having a terrible year.
He is.
Have you seen his stats?
For him,
I mean, he's got nobody to throw to most of the season. Has kept them 9-0 until this week. So
is there a chance that the Chiefs, you know, kind of go mediocre towards the rest of the year? Is there a chance they go like 4-3? 3-4, something like that, or is it just a one off, and you still see them winning with two or three losses?
I think they're going to lose a couple because they the law of averages. They didn't deserve to be 9-0. Maybe that's not the right way of saying it. They had so many close games that went their way that a win is a win in the NFL, but over time, if you're winning by 2 points. That's going to catch up with you at some point. It just sort of evens out.
Of course, their next two games are the Panthers and Raiders. So much for the losing streak.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Chargers at Chiefs.
It gets harder, though.
Be a good game.
Yeah, I think so.
Don't sleep on the Chargers.
No.
I'm telling you, Jim Harbaugh made a huge difference. Anything else?
Well, so next week, we got Harbaugh Bowl again. We got Ravens at Chargers.
Excellent.
On Monday night.
All right.
That'll be good.
Oh, that'll be a good one.
All right.
And you know what else we got this week? Hope, I know you're not thinking about it because you got a game tonight, but it's Dallas week in Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
You guys get to kick our ass on national television for the afternoon Turkey Bowl.
Right. Yeah, well, it's going to be a good segue, right? I saw where you were going with the Plaxicos, because do you know what the spread is in Dallas in the DC in that game? Dallas getting 10 right now.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
That's not enough.
Is the Thanksgiving game Giants Cowboys? Oh God!
Oh God! Do I have to?
Jesus!
Well, just load up another plate of food. There's no reason to go back to the living room. Just keep eating. Just keep eating.
Let's move on to the Plaxico locks then. After week 11, I'm at 7-3. House is 7-4. And that's because my game for week 11 is tonight. I picked the Texans minus 7.5. It's now minus 7.5, right? Or no, it's moved to 7, but when I picked them, it was 7.
Whatever you bet it at.
At versus the Cowboys. House took the Packers minus 6 over the Bears, and they won by 1 point. So he got a loss. Milk picked Denver and got the win. Milk, Denver was minus 2.5, and they won by 32. Hope picked, who did you pick? The Eagles?
Yep.
Minus 3. They got the win. Won by 8 over Washington. Bison, picked the Bengals plus 1.5 at the Chargers.
You should have won that.
And yeah. Bengals lost 28-34. So I'm 7-3. House is 7-4. Milk is 6-4-1. Hope is 6-5. And Bison is 4-7. Does anybody have House's pick?
No.
I didn't see
it. I don't.
Did you not call one?
He didn't call one in?
He sent in the chart, but it wasn't on the chart.
Fairly unusual.
All right.
I guess we'll have to pick for him.
We'll get it from we'll get it from him
let's
later.
Give them he wants to take the Cowboys.
That might not be a bad pick. The 10 points, that's a lot of points.
He said he was finished.
He does not want to pick the Cowboys.
All right, who's going first?
All right, I'll go first. I'm going to take the Steelers minus 3.5 at the Browns.
Okay, what I was going to take.
I'll go second. Hope your Milk is next.
All right.
I'm going to take. Who are the Broncos playing? Raiders. I'll take, is it 5.5?
Yeah, 5.5.
Yeah, give me Denver. I have a crush on Denver right now. With this team.
Minus 5.5?
Minus 5.5.
Okay. Oh?
I'm going to take the Lions giving 7.5 at the Colts.
That seems low.
Exactly.
All right, Bison.
Well, it's kind of an unfair system here because when you're last and then you pick last, you keep getting the.
Yeah, I don't know how we figured that.
That was your cousin. It was your cousin who came up with that, Bison.
Well, yeah.
But wasn't it reverse? Wasn't it if you have a worse, if you're worse, you pick first?
All right. Let's start. All right. Starting next week, that's what we'll do.
That's okay. I'm going to take Arizona minus 1 at Seattle. I think Seattle's got some issues right now. I think their center just retired at age 27. And.
Yeah,
that's not a good spot for a team to be. So I'll take Arizona.
Really, really hampered them last night. All right,
wow, Arizona's coming off a bye though, and they're playing well. I don't believe in Seattle.
All right, I will double check
coming off a bye. Then against them.
Double checking the chart, and I don't see a pick for House.
Let's give him the Cowboys. Actually, let's give him the Giants.
Isn't his default pick the Eagles if he doesn't have a pick?
Right.
Well, he'll send it. Let him.
Yeah,
he'll send one in.
All right. Good luck, everyone.
All right. Milk, you do a little college football for us?
Sure. I think Rooster and I have to start off with an apology, though, to one Carson Beck. After we dogged the shit out of him last week, he apparently hurt us because he responded with a dominating performance against Tennessee. 347 yards, threw 2 TDs. He ran one in two, right? So 3 TDs in the biggest game of the year. Tennessee looked bad on defense. They couldn't get to the quarterback. Georgia, 5 sacks. Nico looked very pedestrian, couldn't get anything done. They were all over him all night. I just, after what we thought Georgia was fading away, they are right back in the mix.
What a gut check. They're down 10-0. And, you know, you're like, wow, is Georgia going to even show up? Because they're out of the playoffs if they lose that game.
Yes. And now Tennessee, well, they're still in it, but I didn't see that coming. I thought Tennessee was going to go in there and win that game. And Georgia proved me wrong. So that was exciting. We had some teams, I think, officially eliminated from contention. I give props to Napier. Been hard on him.
Big upset.
That was unfortunately now.
You want an extension, right? You want an extension.
Beating a 6-3 team, hey. 22nd in the country, is a big deal now, which is pitiful. But they look good. I think LSU's gone. Brian Kelly might be gone.
I was about to say, too. You want Brian Kelly? He's available.
Man, I'll tell you, Brian Kelly. I caught. Did you see Brian Kelly on the sideline yelling at his receivers? Yelling,
everybody,
everybody. Do you think you are? And yeah. Brian Kelly's got a lot of fucking balls to be yelling at that at somebody on the team. Who do you think you are, man? Wow.
He's been every angry time all year.
I came off the field.
Did he do it in his quarterback fake Cajun accent?
Yeah, probably. You could see it on reading lips. It's bad.
Send him packing. Accent.
Yeah.
He's a dick. He was literally every player. I mean, he was having these side one-off conversations, clearly yelling at all of them. So they're gone. Good riddance. Pitt blows one, gives it to Clemson. They take the lead, and Clemson goes back and scores. They're done. I think K-State's done. I think BYU's probably gone. I mean, I guess that was one of the bigger upsets.
Well, BYU still controls their destiny. They can win out, win the Big 12 championship, and they get the bye. But they're not going to get an at-large after that loss to Kansas.
Right. So top 12, Pope would disagree with me if I'm wrong. I've got Oregon, and this is in no particular order, who, by the way, survives a scare at Wisconsin.
Yeah. That was an unimpressive win.
Yeah. Very Wisconsin impressive. Had a chance to win the game. They had the ball, chance to win.
Oregon has been shaky all year, in my opinion. I mean, they've had some good games, but they've had a lot of close calls this year. I'm not sold on them at all. You've got Indiana and Ohio State this weekend. That's the big game this weekend.
I predict a blowout. Yeah. I think Indiana's going to blow exposed. Up. Yeah, Indiana's going to get exposed.
All right. Then we're going to figure out what to do with Indiana.
Right.
Texas, Penn State, Bama's, of course, there. Georgia's back in it. Notre Dame is there. I think the big game is Army this weekend. I think Army's overmatched. Probably will go the way of Navy and lose, but I would love to see Army beat Notre Dame. I got Tennessee, Miami, Ole Miss. Watch out. Going to Florida this weekend. Let's see what happens. And
no, what do you think of Texas? What do you think of Texas against Arkansas? I thought that was another unimpressive win.
That was a meh.
Yeah.
But I was not shocked. I wasn't shocked by that at all. Arkansas at home is not a bad team. They did not see earlier this year. I wasn't surprised by that.
I don't know how good this Texas team is. I don't think we know. I mean, they lost the biggest game of the year. They haven't beat any ranked teams.
So who is the best team?
I mean, how do you say it's not Oregon? They beat Ohio State.
And you have to say it's Oregon, but I don't know if they are.
Yeah,
they just beat Wisconsin by three.
Oregon had an off week, and Wisconsin can be a tough team, but they had an off week. But I've seen them play when their offense looked like, you know, the greatest show on turf with when the Rams were playing in their Super
Bowl. I think there's an argument that the best team in the country is Tulane. No, Tulane's not the best team in the country, but somebody had to mention them. Somebody had to mention them.
I had Cricket Wireless kicked in. Did you say something?
I'm sorry.
You froze.
Somebody had to give them props in House's absence here. They got an outside shot, right, at the playoffs?
SMU survived a tough game against Boston College.
Yeah.
They went out.
It's a laugh at Boston College, but you know, not when they beat them. It's a good game.
They went out. They're in the AC Championship, probably against Miami, who hadn't won a big game either. So there's a lot of teams. I sent you guys a stat. I don't have it in front of me, but there's like five or six teams in the top 10 who haven't played more than one ranked team, and some haven't played any ranked teams. So,
but it's all going to get sorted out because we're going to have championship games, right?
So, yeah.
But here's my question.
But what are you going to do with the one loss or two loss teams that don't make championship games that you're not that impressed?
It's going to be really annoying when you have to put like Indiana in.
Yeah. Yeah. Over like, you know, Tennessee or Ole Miss or one of those teams.
God, and
are there any parameters for who gets in? Like, how do they decide who gets in? Is it come from different conferences, or what's the story?
It's subjective. It's the eye test. There's no computer, you know, rankings are going to spit it out. It's the committee.
It's the committee decides, and there's nothing because House kept talking about like one of the non-Power Five schools getting a
slot.
They
do.
Is that a? That's what I'm asking.
No, that's, the like, that's true. That's why Boise State's in.
That's why Boise State is in. They'll be number 12.
So one team from outside the Power Five is guaranteed a slot.
The champion,
yes, correct? But the champions all get in too.
Right.
Okay.
So
all right. So there are parameters.
And then
here's some scenarios for you, right? So Alabama, who looks like they're on a roll now, they could get into the SEC championship game against the winner of Texas and Texas A&M. And if they lose that game, then they will have three losses. Are you going to put a three-loss Alabama team in the playoffs when they just lost a championship game? And let me give you a story. So I'm flying back from Atlanta yesterday. I'm sitting next to this guy in a Georgia pullover who went to the game in Athens. And he was excited because they're not going to make the championship game. And he says he thinks they're in now regardless because of that win and beating Texas. And he's like, that's a bye for us. We don't have to play a really good team in the SEC championship. Well, and then we get a home game against, you know, like an Indiana or a Notre Dame. Think about that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, but that's going to happen more and more now with 12 teams. You know, if you're going to have teams that don't look at Notre Dame.
Well, if you're Alabama, I think Alabama's probably in now if they don't make the SEC championship game and lose. So do you even want to go to the SEC championship game? I mean, yeah, you get a bye if you win, but that's another brutal game to play, whoever it is.
Yeah, but you're right. You get a bye and your seed skyrockets. So there is, I guess there's benefits.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. So what do we have? This week, what do we have? We have Indiana, Ohio State. We got any other big ones?
Keep an eye on this. We got State plays.
Shedeur Sanders cemented his position as my top pick for a first quarterback taken in the draft.
Look, it's not going to happen, but how awesome would it be if Colorado got in somehow? Like,
amazing. They could win the Big 12.
I think they will.
I think they're going to beat BYU.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess Army-Notre Dame's the other big game this week.
Yeah.
Right?
I think Notre Dame will crush them just like they did Navy.
Well, it's got implications, so it's a big one.
Well, it's got implications maybe for Tulane. Because Tulane really needs Army to beat Notre Dame.
Yeah, but it has implications for whoever's going to get that slot, that non-Power Five slot.
Assuming Boise State loses.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it depends, but it's a relevant game. So
I think, and right.
undefeated Army team in there after they beat Notre Dame.
Yeah,
they're not beating Notre Dame. There's no way. That game's at Yankee Stadium, by the way. That's kind of cool. It was kind of cool, that Northwestern game at Wrigley. That was neat.
All right. Anything else on college football? Nothing. All right. Who's got a punch? Don't call it a
comeback. I've got one. Anyone else?
I've got one, too.
Why don't you go first?
All right. So this came in actually from cousin Justin, who maybe should get his own punch for putting me in a bad spot in the Plaxicos. But and this was a good one. Did you guys see the hit that Ryan Reeves put on Darnell Nurse? That Ryan Reeves, who does he play for now? Calgary? Or no, I'm sorry, Toronto. He plays for Toronto Maple Leafs with the headshot on Darnell Nurse. I mean, just flying down into the corner, total, you know, shoulder to the face, busted the guy's face open. Reeves is a thug, you know, and people like to make fun and give grief to Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson plays hockey and scores goals. Reeves has something like 1 point in 16 games. All he is a thug, you know, enforcer guy out there. And this was a really dirty shot. If you haven't seen it yet, Moose Jaw, man, you should be throwing a punch too out of respect for the game, even though it's your own player. This was ugly. And he did get a game misconduct and probably is going to get a pretty lengthy suspension over it. It was a really ugly, unnecessary hit. So Ryan Reeves, you're getting a punch. You deserve it. And by the way, he's probably going to get more punches because the next time they play Edmonton, there's going to probably be someone who goes after him too. So
interesting. Rooster, I got a punch too. Unless you want to go.
You can go. Go ahead.
Well, I'm pretty pissed about our baseball situation here in Tampa. We already have nowhere to play this coming year, so we're playing in a minor league stadium at George Steinbrenner
Field. Yeah, maybe you can sell it out.
Capacity 9,500. So we will sell it out, maybe. But over the weekend, I don't know if you guys saw this. So we've been really excited about building a new stadium, except I hate the location over in St. Pete. And what do you know? But over the weekend, our owner is now threatening to destroy the whole stadium deal because our Pinellas County, not Tampa, Pinellas County, St. Petersburg, has basically been like, they're supposed to vote on these bonds that basically is going to help pay for the new stadium. And they keep pushing back the vote, which is causing delays in the timeline, construction timelines, every time they're pushing this vote back. And I guess part of the agreement, any delays are all the costs of the delays go to the team to have to pay. So the owner's getting like, what the fuck are y'all doing? You keep delaying this. Our costs are rising. And now he's starting to pull the whole thing out. And God knows what's going to happen. So here we are again, stadium deal maybe done. And at that point, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe they will go to Montreal. F you, Pinellas County. I hate you. You're the reason that this has all happened. I'm sick of them. You got to let go. Come to Tampa where the stadium belongs. We'll get the deal done here. So I'm punching Pinellas County in the face. We're going to lose right. baseball.
Milt, think how much fun that's going to be, though, to have them play at that stadium for a year.
It is going to be cool. I'm excited.
I mean, it is kind of cool. Yeah.
You guys will have like cool little gimmick shit going on, and
some minor league stuff going on.
Maybe the Savannah Bananas can come in for a game. Yes. You know, it'd be fun.
It's going to be cool when I take my kids to a Bucks game and walk right across the street to the Rays game. There's like three games where they have that scheduled to happen.
Oh, that's so cool.
Or potentially. That's cool. I don't know.
All right, Rooster, you got a punch?
I do. I'm going to punch the NFL. Mm. If you guys think about it, I just want to take you through some bad actors. Well, you remember when Henry Ruggs got drunk and killed somebody? Non-stop coverage of that, non-stop on ESPN, pregame shows, you name it. When Kareem Hunt hit a woman, same thing with Ray Rice, lots of coverage of it. ESPN covered it ad nauseum, as they should have. The pregame guys all talked about it on the NFL Today shows and everything. Same thing with Kaepernick when he took a knee and protested. It was covered everywhere. Couldn't get away from it. When just recently it was disclosed that former Lions linebacker Antoine Williams has been arrested for assaulting police officers on January 6th, and they have footage of him punching cop in the face. He's a big dude. I mean, he's a former linebacker, dressed in assault gear, wearing a mask. Thing was, the guy was so stupid. He had this bright red car keychain hanging off of his pants in the photo, which they identified him. He had on his belt when they arrested him. But there's been packets about this. You didn't hear a damn thing about it on the pregame Sunday shows. You didn't hear a thing about it on ESPN. The NFL doesn't want to cover it. And I think it's because they're afraid of the president-elect. They just are. And it's kind of a shame. Grow some balls, man, and cover everything. Bad is bad. Cover it all equally. Stop being pussies. I'm giving him a punch.
Punching him just like this guy did, huh?
Yeah. Arrest me.
All right. Does anybody have a lasso?
Fuck lassos.
Wow.
All right.
After that, now,
nothing good happened?
All right. How about a buzzer beater?
So, you know, we have a lot of the NBA season left, so we're not really touching on it that much. But I think we ought to at least acknowledge this amazing start by the Cleveland Cavaliers. So they are 15-0, which ties for the second best start in NBA history. Anyone know what the best start was?
No.
I think it was Golden State 22-0 or 27-0?
24-0 in 2015-2016.
That was, don't you remember, that was the year the Pope was a Warriors fan.
That's right.
One of the many years.
All right.
So anyway, I think they got a ways to go, but nobody saw that one coming for sure. And how about Golden State? They're 10-2. They're number one in the West. I don't think anybody had them there either.
True.
Yeah.
How about
you got a buzzer?
I got two. One of them I'm going to throw out for House because I know he would bring this up. Who saw Jared McCain come when he was drafted out of Duke, number 16 overall? I didn't think he was going to be quite this good. He's last three games, he scored 27 against the Hornets, 23 against the Knicks, and 34 against the Cavs. He had to step in for Maxey, who was hurt, but man, the guy's playing so well. Seems to be Nick Nurse ought to start both of those guys together, sort of like he did back when he was coaching Van Fleet and Kyle Lowry and played them at the same time. So that's number one. Number two, a little history. Today, in 1966, when Pope was probably still in the oven.
I was born.
Oh, were you?
I was about 6 weeks old.
Okay. Wow. Sandy Koufax, having just lost a World Series game, a three-time Cy Young Award winner, retired at the age of 30 because he said he had a bad elbow.
Wow.
With modern medicine, imagine if that guy pitched until he was like 35 years old.
Yeah. Wow.
That's what makes good. I mean, he was amazing. He was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good buzzer beer. I like that. Milk, you got one?
Not tonight.
All right. I'll just mention that this weekend we've got the Las Vegas Grand Prix, and it's very possible, I think, that Max Verstappen can lock up his fourth consecutive world championship. The constructors is going to probably go a little longer, but lots at stake here as we start on the triple header to wrap up the season. All eyes will be on the strip this weekend.
Hopefully they'll bolt down the sewer covers.
Yeah. Time. No kidding.
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right, guys, have a good week. We want Dallas.
Oh, you bring it. We'll be right back.
The SMQBs are Brian Bandwagon Pope, who hails from Dallas, Texas, and has never met a first place team that he didn't have a personal connection to. Michael Rooster Phelan, hailing from Richmond, and who roots for teams from New York, or is it Boston? I can't remember which it was. One or the other. Also, Patrick Milk Michler from Tampa Bay, and he is still massively in love with Tom Brady and will never get over his man crush on the GOAT. Toby House Milrod, a long-suffering sports fan hailing from Philadelphia, whose Eagles team, they're still looking for another quarterback. And I am Chris Bison Nace, hailing from Washington, District of Champions. Thanks for listening.